All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion and we'll celebrate? All right. Always remember, whenever you see a problem, it's because there's already something has been made right. You got to realize this. Jesus told us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I've come to take it out of life, that they might have it more abundantly. Here's the thing. Start at the beginning, in the garden. God placed Adam in the garden, right there. And he gave him dominion over everything, and he blessed him. And Adam had everything going his way. Everything was good. He had the full blessing on his life. There was no curse. There was no sickness. There was no thorns. There was nothing bad in the garden. And then when Adam and Eve ran into that serpent, and Adam ended up sinning. See, get this right. Eve was beguiled. She was tricked. But Adam didn't take up his place as the head of the woman and say, no, put that down. Adam sinned. He knew better. And then the curse happened. That's when sickness happened. That's when aging started happening. That's when gray hair started happening. That's when anything bad started happening. It was a curse. Got released. That's after everything was made right. What happened when Jesus came here, he took everything that Adam did wrong and made it right for us. He gave us dominion back on this earth. Your sicknesses have already been paid for at the cross. Your finances have already been paid for at the cross. Absolutely, everything that a man needs is wrapped up in Jesus. And he paid for it on that cross. So when we take this bread, we need to see Jesus' body in this bread. He said he was the bread of life. We look at this bread and we see that this bread has been beaten flat. It was bruised for us. And this bread has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. And if you look, this bread has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. Everywhere he shed blood, we got redemption for it in some area. And this bread has been broken. And if you look at this, it's slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus on that cross. In other words, God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taking this for our healing and our well-being, and we thank you for it. That blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that we've ever come in contact with. This blood not only washed away your sins, this blood also made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is a big thing. That means you are in right standing with God. Whatever was wrong between you and God got washed away by the blood of Jesus. And now he wants you to call him Abba Father. Just like a little kid running to their dad. He wants you to run to him. When you make a mistake, he wants you to run to him so the blood can cleanse you. Amen. The blood continually cleanses you from all sin. We thank you for this. Are we having children's church today? We are? Okay, I guess. You only got 5 seconds to get out of here. You got to stay here with me. All right. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And Paul admonishes us to walk in love. He said, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ. Also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be even named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolishness, foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore be not partakers with them. Well, there he lists a lot of things there. And the Bible tells us to not be unequally yoked. You know, don't be hooked up with the wrong crowd. You know, bad company corrupts good character. You know, I've seen this so many times. Somebody that doesn't drink or do anything, they'll end up dating some girl that does drink. And they think they're going to fix it. They ain't going to fix. And I've seen people cross-denominationally. I mean, that's one thing, but here's the thing. You need to come together. You need to come together on the same thing. You don't want to be unequally yoked. I've often wondered, I've seen Jewish people marry Islam, marry Muslims. What's that about? I've seen Christians marry Satanists. How do you suppose these things are going to work? But he's telling us things to watch out for. But here's the answer. Here in verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. The Bible tells us that you've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his dear Son. The minute you get born again, you become a new creature in Christ. You're not the same person you were. Spiritually, your spirit got born again. Now you get called the read the Bible and listen to anointed preaching and hear the Word of God so that faith can be built in your heart and keep going forward and keep getting revelation. Remember, he's telling us to walk in light. Remember, in 1 John 1:7, the Bible tells us to, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Walking in the light. See, the minute you get born again, you get a light bulb, basically. You get lit up from the inside out. That might be the only thing you know is that Jesus came back to life and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You got some light. Amen. So then you go learn something else in the Bible and you get a revelation of it. You got more light. And then pretty soon you go learn something else and you got more light. And here's the dangerous thing. It happens in the church world a lot. Don't quench somebody's light. You know, somebody learn something, they get a hold of it, and they're excited about it, and they come, maybe you've known about it for a long time, and they're coming, they're excited, and they come tell you about it, and a tendency to a lot of people say, yeah, that's old news, you know, that I knew that a long time ago, this. No! No! He just learned it! Your job is to build on that light. Throw them another little piece and let them build on that light. Keep building them up. And keep edifying them. Keep teaching them. Keep encouraging them. They learned a little bit. Show them some more. Give them some more light. Give them something more to chew on. We're to walk in the light. We don't ever want to quench somebody's light. Amen? So he said, you were once darkness. I don't care how wonderful you were. I don't care how wonderful your family was. Until you got born again, you were darkness. And here's the thing. It's hard to see. There's no darkness. Did you know that? There's an absence of light. So you were walking in darkness until Jesus came in there and lit you up from the inside out. Now, he tells us to walk in the light. How many of you come in contact with dark situations on a day-to-day basis? Every single hand should come up. Everybody comes in contact with darkness. Amen. Now, there's a kind of a attitude that we don't want to rub elbows with dark people. You know, we don't want to, you know, we don't want to go where dark people go. We don't want to, you know, nah, I can't go over there because it's dark. What happens if you show up and light the place up? You know, somebody came into my dark corner of the world and told me about Jesus. It is annoying as all get out. It rubbed me sideways every time. I'd be in there having a glass of whiskey at the bar, and this cowboy preacher would show up, sit down right beside me. How you doing? Why? How do you think I'm doing? I go to the post office. And a preacher would show up. How you doing? I thought, God, these guys don't give up, do they? I go out in the woods and a preacher would show up. What was going on? God was lighting my world up. I was in total darkness, but he was causing light to come into my world. And then pretty soon, I got attracted to the light. I thought, man, these guys, there's something about these crazy son of a guns. I don't know what it is, but there's something about them that I need. And I finally ended up getting lit up from the inside out. Amen. I didn't rub off on them. They rubbed off on me. Now, how is the world going to get born again if Christians don't invade their world? You know, that's what happened to the world when Jesus came here. The Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld and called him Jesus. God invaded our little world with his Word. See, if people don't ever hear the Word of God, they can't respond to it. That's why I tell you, I don't care what state a man is. If you run into a man that needs help, I don't care if you tell him to have a toddy before he comes to church. That's fine. There's no sense in that man going in DTs and dying before he has a chance to hear the Word of God. God can fix that stuff. That's little stuff. That's temporal stuff. God can fix that. He can't, however, fix it if he can't get his Word into them. Well, if they're drinking, they can't understand. Baloney. I promise you, when the Word is going forth, that Word will get in their heart. And God can fix them from the inside out. Amen? I don't care how much of a train wreck a man is. You need to get him into church so God can fix him. Not me. Not me. God, his Word going into a man's heart can fix anything. Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. We have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Now, this whole world has found themselves in these few verses right here. The whole world is finally finding out what's been concealed in darkness, what's been hidden in darkness. You know, I started talking about this a long time ago and people thought I was completely crazy, but I said, look, you've got to understand, there are some very evil people in this world that are running the government. There are some very evil people in this world that had their fingers in every single sector of our economy. Even inside the church buildings. You know, a long time ago, I started studying about some of these ritual abuse victims that had escaped some of these things. And they said, it's impossible for us. We tell people who did it, and they think, oh, that's just crazy. That can't be. You're messed up in the head. But these poor girls would escape, and they say, it was the pastor, it was the teacher, it was the police chief, it was the sheriff, the mayor, It was the deputies. It was all the important people in the community. It was the judge. It was the lawyers. It was all these important people. And nobody would believe them. But it's getting exposed now. It's coming to the light. The light is shining on them and it's white hot. They have no place to hide. God is exposing them. Amen. The evil. Now here's the thing. Christians sometimes have a hard time with this. They don't understand it. They make a mistake. And they want to hide. Because they don't want the light to shine on it and have it get exposed. They got it just backwards. God shines the light on the evil. Now, see, the woman that got caught in the act of adultery, they dragged her down there and they threw her down in front of the light of the world. And what happened to her? She walked away a free woman. The light did not condemn her. You got to understand, when you make a mistake, run to Jesus so he can fix it. Amen? Too many Christians are hiding. They don't want to come to church because they don't want anybody to know what they did. They don't want anybody to hear about the mistake they made. And I guess, in a way, I don't blame them. Because too many times the church has acted like a pack of wolves and pounced on them and degraded them and made them feel even worse about things than what they did before. Paul didn't do that to the Corinthian church. If anybody had any authority to berate anybody, it could have been Paul, I suppose. But he didn't do that to the Corinthian church. He reminded them of who they were in Christ Jesus. That's what we should do. That's walking in the light. When you're walking in the light, you're going to be reminding people of who they are in Christ Jesus. You're not going to remind them of their mistakes. You're going to remind them of Christ's victory in them. Amen? It's about setting people free, helping people to walk free. Jesus said you'd know the truth, and the truth would make you free. But he says, to awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The church needs to wake up. I've been saying this for a long time. Wake up! You got to understand there really is a devil out there. Just because you haven't seen him with your own physical eyes, he's out there. And he hates people. He doesn't just hate Christians, he hates people. But he really makes it a special effort to go after anointed people. He does not like anointed people at all. He doesn't want anybody getting any revelation. And he doesn't want anybody walking in any obedience to God. This missionary in Africa, he said he could get people born again all day. And he said there would be witch doctors. There was witch doctors all over the place. They didn't care one way or another. I get people born again left and right. They didn't care. It didn't bug them at all. But he said, the minute I went to start water baptizing people, they went absolutely crazy. Because they were doing the first thing in obedience to Christ, that they could. And that's your first step, is getting water baptized. That means you're getting one step closer to that anointing. You know, the next thing, you could get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, the devil didn't forget. He didn't forget what happened when Peter walked out of that upper room after he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he got 3,000 people born again. First rattle out of the box. That's cool. He didn't forget that ever. He thought he took care of that anointed one. You know, God told him in the garden, he said, there's coming one that's going to bruise your head. And he started persecuting anybody that had any resemblance to Adam. That's why you see all these prophets through the Old Testament getting persecuted, getting killed. Anybody that looked like they could possibly be that one that was going to bruise his head. And then finally, he gets Jesus. And he says, I've got the one. He got him on the cross. He said, my troubles are over. He didn't know about the resurrection. He didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He didn't know that Jesus was the seed that died in the ground, and when he sprouted, he multiplied into billions and billions of Christians. It's never over till it's over. Satan thought he won the battle. If he had just known what was going to happen when he put Jesus on that cross, he wouldn't have done it. That gave God the ability to take his seed and plant that seed. Remember, when you take a seed and you put it in the ground, it dies. And then after a little while, it sprouts. And it starts producing fruit. Some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold return on his word. Jesus, the ultimate seed, has produced billions off of that one seed. The devil didn't know, or he wouldn't have done that. Amen. And he says to walk in wisdom. Verse 15 says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. I just love these words. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We'll stop right there for just a second. Didn't we find out that the will of the Lord, his will is his word? See, there's people going on treks and journeys and all kinds of different game plans trying to find out what the will of God is. You just take that Bible and open it up. That's his will. His will is his word. You want to find out who you are? Open the Bible up and read it. He talks about you all over in there. Oh, he don't talk about me. He said, yeah, he called you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He called you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He called you a son of God. He says you're anointed. He talks about you all over the place. He says that you've been made wise. Jesus has been made wisdom, righteousness, sanctification unto us. Our wisdom is wrapped up in him, not in the world, not in our school education, but in the Bible. True wisdom is found in the Bible. True wisdom is found in Jesus. You know, some of the wisest, talking secularly, the wisest people in the world right now are severe alcoholics, schizophrenics, scared out of their mind right now. Some of these really, really super smart people that have been telling us how the stock market works and how all this stuff and where to invest your money and how to do this and how to do that. Some of them guys are completely at wit's end right now. You know, we're going into a new financial system. Did you know that? Now, if you're frowning about that, it's because you don't understand that God is winning this battle. See, the devil had a system for us to go to, and he planned on getting us there through this pandemic. And the pandemic didn't work, so he decided he'd try to start a war in Ukraine. That didn't work. So now they're talking about some of these COVID restrictions coming back. Don't buy into that. Stay away from that. Now Jesus said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust do corrupt. Store them up in heaven. Amen. I don't know how many fortunes I've seen get lost to the stock market. You know, the same bad guys that are murdering babies on a daily basis, calling it abortion, that's murder. That's really sacrifice to Molech. Those same guys are the same guys that are manipulating Wall Street. Those same guys have cost people fortunes. I worked with a guy that he showed up at work one day and I said, what are you doing out here? And he said, well, I was going to retire last year, but Obama got elected and my 401k just vanished. So it's gone. All of it. You know how many times I've seen that? They laid up their treasures on this earth where moth and rust dust corrupt, and thieves broke in and stole. Amen? You know Jesus is going to take care of you. You know he's much smarter. He's much smarter than the government. He's much smarter than anybody. He's much smarter than your financial planner. I'm serious. He's by far smarter than any accountant I've ever met. And he has his eye on you. He's not taking his eyes off of you. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the gold under those hills. Amen? And you're his favorite kid, and he's given you all things with Christ Jesus. He wants you to walk in the light. He wants you to walk in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. The only way we're going to attain to that is to focus on Christ. Focus on Jesus. You know, Peter, this is the best. This is the best analogy I can ever find for people. Peter jumped out of that boat into an impossible situation, and as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water. He didn't get into trouble until he got his eyes off of Jesus. He started looking at the wind and waves. So what would be wind and waves in your life? Well, bills. That could be something that could cause you to get your eyes off of Jesus. Maybe your kid's running around being an idiot. That could get your eyes off of Jesus. You'd start focusing more time on your kid, focusing on him more than on Jesus. You know, you got to give the little rat to Jesus. I'm serious. You think you can control him? The Bible tells us cast our cares over onto Jesus because he cares for us. I'm running into a lot of people, a lot of Christians even. They have a gloomy, downhearted outlook on what's going on in the world today. When they should be excited, they should be celebrating, they should be saying, man, we're getting closer, we're one step closer. Every time something happens, we're one step closer. But that's not what I'm finding. Every time I turn around, they say, we're one step closer to doom and gloom. We're one step closer to the devil controlling the world. They're listening to the devil. God wins. Look at the end of the book. God wins. He wins. The Bible tells us that the devil is declining to an end. Whose report are you going to believe? If you're walking around heavy-hearted about what's going on in the world, you're not paying attention to the light. You're paying attention to the darkness. Look what the light's doing. You know, we're seeing things now that people had never seen. They didn't have any idea. How many of you all over the world that had kids in them that they've been held captive for? And now people are starting to see, oh, wow, that's not a conspiracy theory? No, the light's shining on it. The light's shining on it. The light's shining on Ukraine right now. The light's shining on what the criminal cabal has been doing over there. The light's shining on it, and they can't stand it. The darkness cannot overcome the light. Jesus is the light. He is in every corner of this world, and his light is getting brighter by the day. I started saying this years ago. People were saying, man, we need to have a revival in this world. I mean, if you wake up and get out of your own little closet and look at what's going on, look at Benny Hinn, where he'd go have a meeting in Africa, people would walk for days to get to this meeting. Sometimes you have a hard time getting them up to drive across town to go to church. But he went into a dark world and people would walk for days to get, and there would be millions and millions of people, and millions of people would get born again. Reinhard Bonnke, do the same thing. Go to Africa, have these big meetings. Benny Hinn, go to India. He had such a revival in one place in India that they named this airport Holy Ghost Field. America needs to wake up. They need to start seeing what's going on. And they need to quit being passive. The church needs to quit being passive. They need to quit turning the other cheek. You need to stand up. Whenever something goes on, you need to stand up, let your voice be heard. Not only are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but you also have a constitution. You have civil liberties. And people have been stomping on these civil liberties because you've been turning the other cheek. You are a blood-bought Christian. You are living in blood-bought land with the Constitution. Amen? You know why this country has some semblance of freedom? Because good men got mad and picked up rifles and went and enforced what they believe. Our country sits on a pedestal that's held up by three legs. Number one, our Bible. Number two, our rifles. Number three, our Constitution. If you lose either one of those legs, you lose it all. It all rests on those three legs. And anytime anybody tries to take away one of those legs, you need to stand up and you need to fight. See, this Green New Deal, the devil, he's so cute. They're trying to tell us how to save energy. And they said, just don't drive on Sunday. That's his passive-aggressive way of saying, don't go to church. See, they learned a big lesson during 9/11. See, they weren't thinking about the church when 9/11 happened. When 9/11 happened, the churches were busting at the seams. People were looking for answers. And the churches were open. So then they thought, well, we can't let that happen again. So they had this pandemic that said, we're going to close all the churches. And I said, first thing I said, let me know who I need to file a lawsuit on. Just tell me who the first one is. Because you're not doing that here. But what really upset me is the amount of pastors that folded. They threw up the flag and said, okay, here we go. You got us. We give. I told them, I said, why would you shut people away from the answer? Why would you shut people away from hope? Why would you shut people away from the one thing that can make it right? Well, we can do it over the internet. Well, do that too, but open the doors. Let people come in and be people. Amen? You realize we didn't have any outbreaks of COVID in here? Nobody died of COVID in here. Nobody got COVID because they came here. I think people probably got COVID, but I think because they were taking communion and believing in Jesus, that they probably got over it. Amen. What were you doing? We were walking in the light. We were letting our light shine so that we could be a beacon of hope. That's what the church needs to do. The world needs hope. The world needs to see the church being the church. Amen? Or out of time. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us how to walk in the light. That Jesus is our light. And if we let him shine through us, that the world will see it. The world will see that there is hope. The world will see that there is an answer. The world will see that there's an answer to alcoholism. There's an answer to sickness. There's an answer to poverty. There's an answer to loneliness. There's an answer to fear. That Jesus is the answer to every problem that we have in this life. When we turn to him, when we turn to him and seek him, our answers come and they're wrapped up in him. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have snacks and coffee back here in fellowship. Everybody come on back and have some.